Even if you're just looking for a place to sit down to rest your weary feet from the convention, go ahead and listen to what we gotta say. I don't know.
Sure. That'll work.
They gave two idiots a microphone.
Oh, fuck. Really? Three, really?
Three. All right. So with that, it is now 6 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and get started. So thanks to everyone. I know. Podcat cannot
join us today.
Podcat's feeling a bit sick, unfortunately.
Aren't we all? This inversion is killing me. Like, this storm is helping, but, like, I still feel like I got all this crud in my throat.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, welcome to the Kawaii cast, you guys.
Woo!
Woo!
Get the audience. Woo!
Woo!
So, for those of you listening from home, this... If we decide
to air this, it'll just be a bonus episode.
So hopefully we're not getting too much of the background noise for you guys. But yeah, so let's go ahead. Normally at the beginning of our podcast episodes, we start with anime news. But since this is a bit of a bonus episode and we're live, we're going to go ahead and start with introductions.
Yeah.
Which normally we don't do crazy introductions because we just assume that nobody's listening to us. But I am one of your hosts, Candace. I have a bachelor's degree in animation and have been watching anime for over 25 years.
Hi, everyone. My name's Tyler. I'm made of flesh.
He's really the face of the podcast.
I thought that was Podcat.
Yeah, that's true. So you're the pretty one.
Finally, someone said it.
So we are local podcasters. We've been doing this podcast for about 4 years now?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, ever since one day we just got really salty about the Crunchyroll Awards and decided that the entire internet needed to know about it. So
everyone needs to know that they were wrong.
Yeah, everybody's opinions are wrong except for ours, and that's kind of the establishment of this entire podcast. So And we were completely floored when we found out that the people running this convention actually listened to us.
Yeah. That was an interesting epiphany.
Not only do they listen to us, they like us.
Yeah, who does that?
Right? Like, oh my god. They're just like, wow, you guys have really educated opinions about the industry and how things work. And we're like,
no, we've just been watching anime since like 2001.
Yeah, since we were literal. What are you talking about? There's no weebs in this room.
We prefer the term otaku.
Oh my
gosh,
I'm not a weeb. Okay, the term's offensive. You go to Japan and use the term weeb, they're going to chase you out of the country. So we decided that since this is IsekaiCon, we're going to bring back a classic from another episode that we talked about in the past, and that is, what exactly is Isekai? And how has it changed the anime industry, and what kind of genre is it?
Isekai, in the very meaning of the word now, is basically just another world.
Yeah, so Isekai is a Japanese word that just translates basically to another world, and in the most general sense is defined by anime where the main character ends up in another world. Shock.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, though, the more you look into it, the more it feels like there's weird rules and tropes to isekai. So, I believe when we talked about the subject before, we brought up the fact that the genre itself is actually older than the genre itself.
So do we want to bring up some of the old classic OG isekais?
Yeah, no, we're going to go all the way back to Wizard of Oz, damn it.
Oh, shit, for reals.
The OG isekai anime. In all seriousness, though, it's actually kind of interesting because it's hard to think of any other genre that was specifically started by anime. But if you think about things like the fact that in another world as a concept has existed probably as long as fiction has existed, you got things like Chronicles of Narnia, Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's never really been defined as a genre before. It was always just fantasy or science fiction or...
Oh, well, it seems like I think the fans kind of turned it into a genre as well, because it was never clearly defined as, hey, this is an isekai genre.
Yeah.
It just, as there became more and more anime that fall into the category, the fans have just been like, oh, yeah, this is an isekai. And it just kind of caught on, and now even the industry recognize it as a genre.
Yeah, so I do have a quick question for you, though. If you could think of, like, the anime, like, first anime that comes to your head that really defined or kind of kick-started the whole concept of the isekai genre, what would that anime be? Even if you guys don't answer our audience members. Mushoku Tensei?
Yeah, yeah, oh my god.
ReZero? So, for me, I think the one that really started kicking off the popularity, and those are actually both really good answers, but for me, the one that I think most people, especially here in the West, start thinking of, like, yes, this is isekai specifically, was Sword Art Online.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the biggest turning points in recognizability.
And what's really funny about that is I recently saw a video where somebody was explaining why Sword Art Online is actually not an isekai.
Oh boy, here we go.
So, I think the original one was defined as an isekai because it was about Kirito being stuck in a video game world. But the thing is, he doesn't even get transported to another world. He's actually still just sitting in his bedroom. It's just that his mind is trapped in another
world. So you're telling me all of these shows, Dot Hack, Sword Art Online, Bofuri, none of them are isekai?
I wouldn't qualify them as. Actually, Dot Hack's another really good one, because technically it's only Subaru that's trapped in the video game. All of the other characters, Mimiru, Bear, Tsukasa, all of them can, like, come and go as they please.
That's an interesting argument, though, because, like, Inuyasha...
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the girl's mate?
Kagome.
Even Kagome was able to, like, travel between, you know, the two worlds.
That's another one that people say is often mistaken as an isekai, but is actually not an isekai. She doesn't even transport to another world. She goes back in time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think because of this, like, the rules that are now being established by isekai in the modern day, people are now being like, no, even these ones that are considered classic isekai are not actually isekai. And that goes back to Mushoku Tensei that he brought up. That one truly was the first, like, light novel that established a lot of these rules that are now the rules of isekai. Things like it has to be somebody trapped in another world, unable to get back to their original world. And things like the harems, the fact that the whole thing is wish fulfillment, all of that stuff are now, like, defined rules by the isekai genre.
Yeah, especially before then, too, because, like, a lot of the isekai before that were, well, the main character was a female, for one.
Yeah.
You know, almost always. And then Mushoku Tensei came in, and created the building blocks for what an isekai is.
Yeah. So for me, I think the message of isekai also was the biggest change that kind of defined the factor, or the genre as a whole, because originally the whole point of things like Dot Hack Sign, Sword Art Online, Magic Knight Ray Earth, 12 Kingdoms, all of these, like, trapped in another world style shows, a lot of the theme was this idea of the dangers of escapism, particularly the Dot Hack Sign, because
Tsukasa,
thank you. They were a character who was living an abusive life. They were not happy at home. They were not happy at school. They were contemplating ending their life. All of those things, and they used the world, this MMO, as an escape route to get away from their lives and to find something to be happy about. And the game itself senses that and traps them in the video game under their false identity. And the whole point is that now they're stuck in a place where they could just easily die, or it's not a healthy environment for them to live in.
That malnourishment will kill you.
Yeah. And Sword Art Online started with that idea, too. This idea of forcing yourself into escapism will eventually erase who you are until now you're nothing more than an idea or a concept. But now the current idea of isekai is more of this idea that you can start over, that no matter how bad your life gets or how difficult things are, there's always an opportunity for a second chance. And the anime that I think encapsulates that theme the best is mentioned before, ReZero.
I don't know, it just seems like really recently, like the last couple years, so many of these isekai anime have kind of seemed more like just power fantasies, you know? Like, you get crazy things like, oh, I was, you know, I have an overpowered skill, but I'm going to use it for farming, you know? Or like, you know, and it's just always ridiculous, and they're always overpowered.
Yeah. And I believe that kind of goes into the fact that after a while, you can only really write the whole ReZero or Mushoku Tensei formula so many times before it gets stale. And at that point, the isekai kind of branched into two different categories. One was the lighthearted, we're not going to take this too seriously route, where you get things like Restaurant in Another World, or I got reincarnated as a vending machine in another world.
As we established, apparently Restaurant in Another World isn't an isekai because they can go back.
That's fair. Actually, that's a really good point. I do think Restaurant in Another World should still count, though, as they are literally in another world, not the past, not a video game, but an actual world with entire full world building and an entire government and an entire like culture and all these different races. Can we talk about how Restaurant in Another World has one of the best world-building environments I've ever seen in a slice of life?
And it's literally just about some chef who makes food for people that come into his restaurant.
Right? Like, the politics in Restaurant to Another World are actually insane. Like, there's an entire group of people that are just straight-up racist against another group of people because one group lives in the mountains and the other group lives near the ocean.
And they just meet in this restaurant, and they're like, okay, well, I guess the food is good enough to not fight over.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we can find a middle ground through food. It's genuinely one of the most intense anime I've ever seen. It is actually genuinely good. The other route is where they decided to go a little too serious, in my opinion. They wanted to reinvent the whole isekai idea to make it something that could actually be really, really intense and good storytelling. And the anime that I think did its best to try that but never really quite got the attention it deserved was Drifters.
I don't remember if I ever saw that one.
Yeah, so Drifters was a manga...
That was the one where it was like a whole bunch of people from various different worlds...
Different time periods.
Different time periods got teleported onto like their own battlefield or whatever, right?
Yeah, so it was basically all these like... there was a bunch of like historical figures basically. Like, I think Joan of Arc was one of them.
It's fucking Heroescape. Did anyone ever play that board game, Heroescape? Yeah, Heroescape. Shit.
Yeah, so Drifters was about a bunch of like warlords and famous historical figures throughout all of history. After they die, they all get isekai'd into another world where they're all living in the same time period, and this world now has completely different politics from our world. And because of this, a lot of them kind of switch sides. Like, people that were considered like these really evil, dark warlords are now like the heroes of this world, and people that are considered like these righteous knights are now like the straight up villains and are power hungry. Like, I think Joan of Arc was like the villain of the show.
Oh, that's crazy. I need to check that one out.
And it was written by the same mangaka who did Hellsing, which I think also played a factor into the fact that it wasn't very successful, because if any of you guys were reading Hellsing as it was coming out, that mangaka released like one manga volume like every 3 years.
Okay, but I think most of the people here are, you know, were born after Hellsing had ended.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, it got to the point where the anime just kind of had to make up half of the shit in the anime because they're just like, this mangaka writes like one manga volume like every 3 years, and we're moving faster than that, so then...
It's worse than Berserk.
It really was. Like, he even constantly, like, scribbled in the panels of his manga, like, I suck at this, I don't know why you guys are reading my stuff. I'm not fit to be an artist, I need to pay other people to do this crap for me, I'm just gonna doodle. I just wanted to draw titties and you guys kept reading my stuff, and now we're stuck here. And then he's like, yes, I'm definitely gonna finish that prequel to Hellsing. But first, I'm going to write Drifters.
Look. Titties was his passion. Helsing was his side gig.
Fun fact, one of the characters from Helsing, Pip, straight up was one of his hentai characters.
Oh, fantastic. Subarashi.
He was just like, I made a living drawing porn, and then people just really liked my writing for some reason.
Look, sometimes the story really... and captures you in the hentai, okay?
Gosh, remember when Helsing was, like, the most controversial series for how, like, big boob their characters were? And now it's like, that's tame. That's like an anime B-cup at best.
Oh, God, right? Especially in isekai.
But I think Drifters kind of proved that when people wanted to get into isekai or into other world, they weren't looking for these deep stories about... these philosophical questions of, like, what would happen if this really good person didn't have their motivations for being good? Or what if this evil person didn't have their motivations for being evil and they got to start over? Instead, people want a version of the story where they get to be the self-insert. They get to be the ones who start over. They get to be the ones who abandon their terrible lives and go find their harem in a different world.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I get it. This, we're all kind of in a bad position right now, so the escapism really hits true to home. I get it.
Yeah.
I can't afford it!
This isn't therapy? You lied to me? You're not my therapist? What am I paying for?
We're not paying?
Oh, yeah, shit, we got it for free.
Hell yeah, free therapy.
Free therapy. The system works. Just find yourself a room full of weebs that'll listen to all your troubles.
You keep saying that offensive word.
Now they're gonna run me out of the country. Again.
Yeah. You earned it.
So yeah, I think... most isekai, I think, gets a lot of hate, though, because of these tropes. And from there, we started seeing a different evolution of the isekai genre, which is parody, which has kind of become the biggest thing right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest one there being Konosuba, obviously.
Yeah, Konosuba absolutely dominated the idea of isekai parody by basically being like, what if your harem just kind of sucked?
And, like, don't get me wrong, but anyone who is, like, still into Konosuba and has been reading the light novels, it's kind of become exactly what it was parodying.
That is the struggle, though, is you either die a parody or you live long enough to see yourself become the sitcom.
Yeah.
Which was literally the problem with The Simpsons.
Oh, boy. So, is that still running?
That's
got to end here shortly, right?
I think The Simpsons and Attack on Titan are currently have a competition to see whose last season can last longer.
My vote's on Attack on Titan.
My vote's on The Simpsons. I think The Simpsons' last season has been airing for like 6 years now.
Hey, you know, you do one episode a year, and that's 24, you know, episodes. You can milk that for 24 years.
Who says a final season can't be 100 episodes?
Well, there we go.
But yeah, from there we started seeing more and more of the parody. And one that I think kind of did it right, even though it didn't quite feel like a parody, was that time I got reincarnated as a slime.
Yeah, this one is, like, really weird because it does follow a lot of the same tropes of, like, oh, hey, you know, you get your harem, you have your overpowered skills, you basically become God, but, like,
But you're such a nice guy.
You just can't help but root for him, to be honest.
Right? Like, Rimuru is literally, like, he doesn't gain any of his followers or any of the people that support him because he's powerful. They all support him just because he just is so nice. They're just like, damn, you're going to give me a name? That's so nice of you. You're gonna put yourself into a coma just so you can name all 600 goblins here? That's nice.
What's that? You want to be my friend? All right, I'll let you eat me.
You're gonna end an entire war between like ogres and dogs or wolves just because you're a nice guy? Oh my god. And from there it just kind of evolved into more of this idea of like building a world. Like, Rimuru just kind of gets thrown into this forest that is extremely undeveloped for the fact that the humans living in this world want it to be underdeveloped. They want monsters to be the lowest class.
And not just that, but it's also kind of a political thing, too, because you find out later on that because the forest is so big, it has that huge border which separates the east and the west. And nobody wants to go into it. So, you know, it plays a huge political role as well.
And just think, Rimuru would not have even had any of the abilities he did if it weren't for the fact that he befriended a very yandere dragon that's obsessed with manga.
Yeah.
Like, I think that time I got reincarnated as slime easily bumped itself up to being my absolute favorite isekai. And the thing is, I can't even justify it as being good. It's just genuinely fun to watch.
It's honestly, it's not a great anime by any means. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah. And I think it's the only one that I really feel like doesn't have to overplay the parody thing, because it is kind of playing on these tropes in a hilarious way. Like, obviously, Rimuru is way too powerful. Obviously, everything works out in his favor without him having to try too much.
Obviously, all the women want him.
Yeah, even things like Benimaru just being like, well, I was going to give it my all, but I would have killed you if I did, and I didn't want to kill you. That would have been bad, and things like that.
So well, I'm glad you didn't give it your all, because I don't want to die.
The best part is that everybody knows that Rimuru could take Goku in a fight, but nobody wants to have that conversation, because the Goku fans really don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
They have no argument. They have no basis to believe that, yes, he would Goku would win. No, they're just like, well, Rimuru is written to be too overpowered. Yeah. It's
yeah, because OG Superman parody isn't written to be overpowered.
Yeah, exactly. At least they're both just really nice guys, though.
What skills do you think Rimuru would gain from eating Goku?
Maybe he'd be able to taste food again.
Ultra instinct to Rimuru.
I just want to believe that he would be able to eat again.
I mean, he can eat.
He can't taste it, though.
No, I think he can.
I think it established he can't, though. Quick, Weebs, we need information on this. Can Rimuru taste? Oh, okay, so, yes. Okay, so he can taste again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think eating Goku would have had the same effect, though.
Okay.
Yeah. He gets the ability to milk his episodes for 6 episodes instead of 1.
Oh, shit.
Every arc now takes 3 seasons.
Oh, God. That's scary.
Yeah. Same thing would happen if he ate anybody from Studio MAPPA. Yeah,
At this point, yes.
We keep attacking Attack on Titan because it's really easy.
It's a low-hanging fruit.
It really is. It's a very big target.
It's easy for us short people.
Just ankle biting at Attack on Titan at this point. But that brings me to my absolute favorite isekai parody that is currently airing. And we came up with this whole panel just to convince you guys to watch this anime if you haven't watched it already. It's on Netflix.
Oh, is this Uncle from Another World?
Uncle from Another World.
Oh my god, it's so good, guys.
If you guys ever just want to watch something and just think, this is so cringe, but I can't look away, this is the cringiest train wreck I've ever seen in my life. It's like a semi-truck got hit by a train and the semi-truck was full of Daki Makara. That's Uncle from Another World.
It's so great.
And Sonic the Hedgehog fan art.
Oh, God.
Sonic the Hedgehog Daki Makara.
That's going to be a hard pass for me.
So Uncle from Another World is a story about an uncle who got hit by truck coon.
Went into a coma and spent
17 years.
Yeah, 17 years. Happened when he was 17. So he comes back at 34, wakes up from his coma, and all of a sudden, like, the rest of his family doesn't want to deal with him. So the, you know, his family sends, you know, his nephew, like, you know, go tell your uncle that he's, you know, SOL.
Basically, his nephew just went to get him to sign a form saying that his family is no longer responsible for taking care of him. Like, that's literally the only reason the nephew went to go, like, visit him in the hospital.
And then turns out the nephew found out that, hey, the uncle can use magic powers now that he's back to this world.
Because he wasn't just in a coma. He was in another world.
I'm going to YouTube that shit.
And what makes this whole thing absolutely fantastic is that the date that the uncle got sent to another world just happened to be a couple years before the isekai genre was established in the first place. So all of these really popular tropes like the harems, the wish fulfillments, the overpowered abilities, all of that stuff were just not a thing.
So the uncle has no idea about any of them. He doesn't even really fully grasp the concept of tsundere, even though, like, one of his favorite characters is Asuka from Evangelion.
Did the person with the Asuka card just boo? Just got called out, man. We walked by that car earlier, and Tyler was like, look at this car for this
Look at this fucking Asuka simp.
And I was just like, I know exactly whose car that is.
you nailed it. You told me, you were like, I think that's this person's car. And I was like, oh shit, really?
So anyway, so the uncle basically got to live the wish fulfillment life, but just thinking that this was just an inconvenience. Like, there's an elf girl that is absolutely, like, obsessed with him and is in love with him, and he just assumes that she's a crazy stalker that wants to kill him.
Yeah, there's also, like, this crazy ice girl that's obsessed with him, and, like, another, what is she, like, a wolf girl or something?
Yeah.
He has a harem, but, like, he's too dense to realize it.
He has enemy zoned all of these girls.
Even to the point, like, he wakes up naked in the same bed with two of the girls, and he doesn't even realize that, like, they're clinging to him. He's like, he's so dense, he doesn't realize that they have feelings for him.
I think my favorite was the elf girl takes, like, his hoodie or whatever, or the sweat jacket that he was wearing, and he, like, goes to take it off of her, and he's, like, stripping it off of her, and she's, like, freaking out. He's like, I just want my jacket back. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Crazy thief.
And so many misunderstandings, like him giving her a ring. Like, oh, here, hold on to this ring. Him thinking, okay, this is,
she's going to sell it.
Yeah, like
she's going to sell it.
And then she's taking it as a marriage proposal. They get to town and he's like, "Here, let me see that ring." And he pawns it off and hands her the money like an idiot.
I think my absolute favorite part is looking at all of his memories and they're just like, "Oh, this was pretty recent." He's like, "No, that was when I was 17."
Here's
he looks like he's already was 17.
Yeah.
But also all the people in this world think that he's a terrifying ogre.
Yeah.
He's just that ugly.
Poor guy.
There's one point where he goes to save, like, this woman and, like, her younger siblings, and she thinks that he's, like, trying to, like, do stuff to her. So terrible.
And then the siblings knock him out, and
yeah,
and he's just like, man, I wonder why I fell asleep right there. I don't remember.
Yeah, there's an entire village chases him out because they think he's just a horrendous ogre that's trying to kill them.
Yeah, it's just, it's so hilarious. If you haven't seen it, go see it. I think it's finishing up soon if it hasn't already.
Yeah, he also invented VTubing.
Yeah, he's the elf girl VTuber,
yeah,
which is hilarious because he's like, oh, I'm going to play games, you know, as this elf girl. And then and he's like, wait a second, you didn't record the gameplay.
I think my absolute favorite part, though, is him announcing his very first anime crush. We all have our first anime crush, you guys. We all have our waifus. His is Tails.
Yeah. he's obsessed with Sega.
There was also the giant hedgehog in the other world. And he's like, this is
why isn't it blue?
It's like, that's not a hedgehog. It's not even blue. Uncle from Another World is a gift. I think everybody here should just... That's your homework, you guys. Go home and watch Uncle from Another World. It's so good.
Look, there's going to be a quiz next set period, okay?
We are an educational podcast. At least that's what we told the convention staff. If we have to play along with the ruse, so do you guys. So yeah, I think I literally lost my train of thought.
Yeah, mine went off the rails as well.
Yeah, bye, Truck-kun.
Did it hit an uncle?
But that establishes the best character in any isekai, Truck-kun.
Truck-kun is the star of the isekai genre.
Yeah. We all stand Truck-kun. I need a Truck-kun dakimakura, I'm just saying.
I mean, you get the Truck-kun, I'll get the M4 Sherman.
Yeah. We're going to put a tank on a dakimakura for me. So yeah, some of the early like isekai, though, that really deserve more attention, though, is... things like Magic Knight Rayearth.
Magic Knight Rayearth. Fushigi Yugi is really good. I think they brought that onto Netflix recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one's one I would say recommend. Go check out.
And then 12 Kingdoms.
Yeah.
12 Kingdoms is one of those anime / light novels that's like... it's like early Japanese history. Like... it was one of those series that absolutely established the genre, like, of just media that was popular in the West. It really, like, paved a lot of roads for a lot of media, and nobody acknowledges it. Speaking of Asuka, Asuka just walked in.
Oh my.
But yeah, what time did we...
Any questions? Anything?
I gotta want to ask, because we don't get a chance to do these very, like, live shows very often. What do you guys love about isekai, or what's your favorite isekai? If anybody wants to come up, and I'll just bring the mic to the end of the stage, if anybody wants to talk.
Come on, guys, don't be shy. Raise your hand.
I've never seen one!
<That's> Bullshit! It's not.
Yes, Overlord. Oh my god. Okay, I do want to talk about Overlord for a bit because I think Overlord actually did something kind of like incredible with its writing system. So if you've only watched the anime for Overlord, it's pretty good. But if you've ever read the novels, they're pretty freaking twisted. So, fun fact, all of the light novels were actually heavily inspired by the writers' D&D campaigns. So almost all of the like scenarios, characters, contents, all of that were created by his friends. Originally, the idea was that he just really wanted to publish a lot of their campaigns and a lot of their stories. And it eventually turned into this big isekai series that is just so good. So
on that note, I know I'm diverting from the isekai discussion here just really quick. If you are a fan of D&D, Record of Lotus War is literally just the creator's D&D campaign. Go check it out. It's pretty good.
But one of the things I really liked about Overlord as like a wish fulfillment series is that similar to like that time it got reincarnated as a slime, Anzal Ghul is just the most OP like character ever. But a lot of that did stem from the fact that he kind of went in and hacked his game. Like the fact that Albedo is like so mad obsessed with him and in love with him is because he rewrote her code to be in love with him. Because he thought, well, this is the last day that I'm going to be playing this game. She's just going to be deleted data in 24 hours. May as well get a little bit of wish fulfillment out of it. And then he goes on to regret it because what he did was he created a simp.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Albedo is my favorite, or one of my favorite simps. A lot of my favorite characters are simps, actually.
Really says a lot about a person, doesn't it?
She is proof that women can be sims.
Yeah. So, speaking of Overlord, there's the isekai within an isekai.
Yes!
Isekai Quartet.
Isekai Quartet. I love Isekai Quartet for one reason only.
Class 2 is all alone.
Yeah, Class 2 is just Union. She has no friends. She's just doing her best. Ever since I saw Isekai Quartet, I'm like, one of these days I'm going to do a Union cosplay.
I fucking want you to do it.
Before, I was planning on cosplaying Darkness, but then after Isekai Quartet, I'm like, no, it's Union.
It's true. That was another thing about the parody of Konosuba. It was like they took the best girl, like anyone would consider Union best girl outside of, you know, the series. But because of that, she's now like nobody likes her.
Yeah.
She's all alone.
Like the three main girls, Aqua, Darkness, and Megumin, are all terrible people. I'm convinced none of them bathe.
But. No, they bathe. It's just with Cosmo.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. We've actually seen them bathe. They don't wash properly. They probably smell like cow a lot.
Yeah.
But by the definition of the fandom, they are the best girls in the series. And then Union, who is literally built to be your stereotype best girl, is a loser who has no friends.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked you haven't seen Konosuba, Harley. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh my god, Homestuck is an isekai. Oh my god.
Oh fuck, mind blown.
I hate it so much. I think one of my favorite segments that we had on this podcast for the longest time was a little segment we did at the end of every episode called Isekai or Isenot.
Actually, I was going to say, do we want to do a section of that?
We could do a section of Isekai or Isenot because for once we actually have a crowd that can vote on whether or not this is an Isekai or Isenot.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this one on this section before. Mary Poppins, that's that part where they jump into the like the sidewalk chalk world, does that count as an isekai?
All right, by show of hands, you guys, is Mary Poppins an isekai?
I've never seen Mary Poppins. It counts if you go to another world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does bring up the other rule that has been established, that if you are able to return, it might not necessarily be an isekai, because they do come back.
Yeah. I think I'm still counting. I'm saying Mary Poppins is an isekai.
I'm down. I think Mary Poppins is an isekai.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think of another good one because we already established Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz is an isekai. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey.
That's a good one. So, yeah. For those of you who have not seen Peter Pan is a story about a child abductor who steals people from their beds and takes them to a world where they will never age.
And then murders them.
And then sells
them. Oh, that's the original story. Yeah. Sorry. That's the eternal isekai.
And a bunch of friendly sailors, one who has a hook for a hand, are just trying to save the children and return them home.
What a nice guy.
What a nice guy. So, show of hands, you guys. Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, isekai or isanot?
That's actually less than I thought.
Right?
I thought for sure everybody would have been like, yeah, that's yeah, isekai.
For reals.
What do you guys think? You guys have any more recommendations? Feel free to shout them out.
We're at the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh yeah.
Narnia. I think that one's pretty established. That one is, and it's Christianity isekai.
Jesus isekai. All right, but I want to see the show of hands. What do you guys think? Chronicles of Narnia, isekai or isanot?
Yeah. Looks like it.
I'm trying to think of any more. I know we used to have like a whole list.
Okay, I got another one.
All right, let's hear it.
This one's going to be interesting. Back to the Future. Now, everyone would agree that Inuyasha would be an isekai, right? And it was established in series that it was time travel, not another world. Would that make Back to the Future an isekai?
I'm saying Back to the Future is not an isekai. I don't agree with the time travel being the same thing as in another world.
Okay. And any audience? Yes, no, yes, raise of hand. Sort of.
One that I'm not going to ask to vote on, but one that tried to trick an entire generation of people into thinking it was an isekai, and it was not an isekai, and it was one of the most culturally successful cop-outs in history, Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
The OG Planet of the Apes.
OG.
OG. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the original one where it ends with, you blew it up! Yeah, I think that is the biggest isanot out there.
So this is purely based on the isekai ideal of changing your life into a different one. Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
Oh, that's... Yeah. That's interesting.
Whatever, but they did inherit completely different worlds as they switched each other.
It is a metaphorical isekai.
Yeah.
I'm going to say isanot on that one. I don't think so. Freaky Friday.
I think it technically counts as an isanot, but I see where he's coming from. The true other world.
Mom uses her skills to get her daughter that like band thing or whatever.
Yeah. The true other world was the friendship we made along the way.
I hate you. Why are we friends?
So since we have enough people in the crowd cosplaying this, I do have one, and then I'll get to yours right after. The Persona franchise.
No.
Not
Nisa guy. It's your world plus. There's no other world.
I wasn't expecting that with everybody in Persona cosplay. It's like, you're stupid!
No!
Get
wrong!
Off the stage. You're canceled! Real quick, since you are bringing up specific personas, what about the first Persona? The very first Persona, they weren't going to... Yeah.
It's the same exact universe specifically. I mean, no, but Shogami Tensei is technically in line with being an isekai.
Yeah.
Persona 1 is the one that ties closer to SMT, so...
Yeah, so I think that's the rule. Persona 1 is an isekai, the other Personas are not. Okay. Okay. Two-part two, I think, qualifies because they do get sent to another reality. Spoiler alert.
I love how we started this argument within the crowd.
I wasn't expecting all the rest of the cast to jump in my throat. But I do want to come back to the Matrix. So,
oh, Matrix. Wow.
I'm going to say the Matrix is almost a reverse isekai. Because the thing is, they're trying to get back to reality. The Matrix is kind of a very trippy version of SAO, actually.
Yeah.
Where they're all in, like, kind of a coma, and they were put there due to capitalism. All right, I do want to talk about the fact that SAO's original theme was this idea of, like, the dangers of escapism, and the fact that capitalism is bad, and all of this stuff, and ultimately... It kind of ended up ending with the whole, like, villain being like, oh, I did it because I was bored, and then Kirito being like, well, now that we're out of that other world, I'm going to go back to playing more video games, because I really liked the video game before it became kind of this messed up thing. And it kind of defeats the entire purpose of both messages, because Kirito is now still in obsessed with escapism, and capitalism won because it became a franchise.
He kept buying more games.
Yeah, and they kept recruiting him to be their gamer.
Yeah, yeah, he's just like, hey, a video game invented by a terrorist? Count me in.
He became the very thing that he fought against.
You die a parody or you live long enough to become the thing you're parodying. Kirito was part of The Simpsons. That is the message of this entire episode.
Yeah.
The ultimate Simpsons did Sword Art Online first.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I know this gentleman here did have an idea for an isekai versus isenot. Enchanted. Ooh. Oh, that's a really good one. I'm going to say that one's also a reverse isekai. So reverse isekai was a genre that really could have done a whole lot more, and then they just didn't. Speaking of actually reverse isekai, what about that one Adam Sandler movie, Pixels?
We don't talk about that one.
We don't talk about Adam Sandler. Rule number one of the Kawaii cast. So yeah.
Emperor's New Groove.
I think at this point we're just naming films. Oh, we got the girl here with the pink hair. Minecraft.
You do go into, like, the Ender World,
yeah,
or whatever in Minecraft.
I don't know enough about Minecraft lore.
I've, like, played Minecraft for all of, like, 30 minutes, and everything I know about it is just from, like...
Achievement Hunter?
Achievement Hunter and, like, having VTubers on in the background playing Minecraft.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the Minecraft. We're going to leave this one up to the audience. Audience, is Minecraft an isekai or isekai?
Apparently it technically is.
It's technically an isekai.
It's kind of divided in the audience, I think. I'm down.
I love that Makoto is way more into the video game discussion than
Tsukamo. Look, social anxiety is a bitch, okay?
It's true. We do protect Futaba. All right, but yeah. Ultimately, this ended up just being us hanging out with a bunch of nerds and talking about nerdy subjects, which is ultimately what our podcast is about. We don't really get to do that enough. So I do absolutely appreciate all of you.
Grass.
Shut up. There's not enough grass in the world to save us, okay?
I'm allergic, thank you.
We literally record this in his mother's basement. That is a fact, you guys.
I mean, lately we've been doing it more...
Yeah, we've been doing it wirelessly.
Wirelessly, yeah.
But your end is still in your mother's basement.
Shh, they don't need to know that.
But yeah, we also wanted to give a quick thank you to our audience. Not only because you guys have been really fun during this podcast. Like I said, we don't do this because we are hoping that people will care about our opinions. We do this because we just genuinely like being a part of this community. And we met a couple of you in the snowstorm earlier today. And yeah, we also want to thank you guys for braving the weather and just hanging out here until our podcast started so you guys could just come talk to us and hang out with us. So yeah.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone.
Oh my god.
In case you missed it, we are Kawaii Cast. We are on Spotify. I don't know, probably some other platforms,
Apple.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just upload the stuff.
If you Google us, it won't work. but if you look up the Cracked Brain podcast, Kawaii Cast is associated with the Cracked Brain. We will be doing another podcast tomorrow. It will be an 18 plus panel. Da-da-da-da. So we're allowed to talk about things that... Yep, so that'll be at 9 p.m.
8 to 9.
Oh, 8 to 9 p.m., thank you. I thought we were leaving at 10, and I was like, this is going to be a long night. But yeah, the redhead in the green coat, not Futaba, but the other one, she will be part of the podcast as well.
The one not wearing the wig.
So yeah, she'll be part of that podcast, so that'll be fun. We will be introducing out-of-context anime clips to our poor friend who does not watch anime.
No, well, I mean, he does watch anime, but he watches, like, an episode a week, so he is very far behind.
Yeah, we just barely got him to watch Yu Yu Hakusho, so we are kind
He's
of...
He's one step ahead of me!
Yeah. We're kind of putting him through, like, otaku boot camp right now. And we're exposing him to the strangest and weirdest anime clips that we could find on the internet. And we're going to make him explain these clips to us. So it'll definitely be a podcast worth checking out. And if you guys just genuinely enjoyed listening to us ramble about things that we act like we know a whole lot about, I think we are technically listed as an educational podcast. Your education starts now. Some of our best episodes are the ones where we literally just salt about things, because what fun is it to like a thing unless you also dislike a lot of things?
I mean, you know, like I said, I love Konosuba, but I can call it out on its bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we are just two idiots who were given a microphone until we were allowed to start a podcast, and we just genuinely love being a part of this community. We've been watching anime for over 2 decades now, both of us.
We've been cosplaying as well for, I don't know.
At least a decade.
At least a decade, yeah.
I've been cosplaying since high school, so it's been over a decade. Don't do the math, you guys. Oh my gosh. But yeah, and genuinely, we've got to watch anime grow and change. And isekai is just one of those things that kind of stands out for a lot of people, because whether you love or hate the tropes, it is unique in the sense that I genuinely can't think of another genre that was just started by anime. Started by you guys, started by the community, started by just people wanting to escape. So.
Yeah, I think we're out of time now.
I think we're out of time, but we love...
Thanks for coming, guys.
We love you guys. Go check us out on Spotify.
Go check out Uncle from Another World.
Go tip your waitresses. Bye.
Bye.
And we killed the mics.